But first of all, let me rectify your question. The Jews who believe in Judaism, they do not believe in life after death. And they believe that this is the life we will live and spend, and that is all. By that I mean, a very great majority among them does not believe in the hereafter at all. Previously, and at the time of Torah and the times which followed, the Jews were told that you will be answerable to your about your deeds, you will be raised from the dead, and you may go to hell or heaven. All that was said. But the beliefs at the Jews at the time of Hazrat Muhammad Mustafa had become literally atheists, because to believe in God and not to believe in Yawm al-Akhirah practically amounts to become an atheist. Because there is no purpose left of believing in God if there is no punishment and reckoning or reward after death. Because here some people continue to suffer and some continue to live in life of luxury and ease despite their crimes. So what is Allah doing then? If He is not punishing here and He is not going to raise them from the dead and bring them to my account afterwards, then what is the meaning in belief in Allah? He is neither here nor there. If He exists, He doesn't concern us. So this is why the Holy Quran pays special stress on life after death, because it is a connected question with the belief in Allah. Without it, the belief in Allah would become meaningless. So this is to be rectified. The first part of your question is not correct. The Jews do not believe in any resurrection or life after death. They think this is just what it is, and the promises which have been made to them would be fulfilled in future generations. That is to say, the promise that was made to Hazrat Dawud of a world government of the Jews and so on, this is what they believe. They think that promise would be fulfilled in the latter days, and these are the times now, and they are trying hard to achieve those objects. But to think of life after death, this is not known among the present day Jews. But there are many who believe in the Holy Quran but misinterpret verses so much that they have fallen into 72 sects, and one does not agree with the other and try to make inferences from the same verses of the Holy Quran. So when people become corrupted, they also try to corrupt the meaning of the books they believe in. So apparently there is just one book, but there are 72 books as far as different sects are concerned. Each one has his own inferences from the same book. So there is no surprise about Jews, because they are older people. They have spent much longer time in being corrupted. You know, they were 1900 years before Hazrat Muhammad Mustafa Hazrat Moses came, 1900 years before Hazrat Muhammad Mustafa and add 1363 to that number, according to lunar year, I mean. So they are that much older people. They took much longer to get corrupted, so they have become thoroughly corrupt, because the passage of time has played havoc with them. This is why they don't truly interpret Torah as they should have. No, but leave it. I mean, that's not the point. You wanted to ask a different question which has no bearing with this. I just, in passing, I am correcting you, because this will be recorded, your question. But I am afraid those who will listen to the tapes, they may not also begin to believe that this is the Jewish belief. This is why I am throwing light on this subject. Yes, yes. As far as the second part is concerned, that remains valid whether the Jews believe or not. The fact is that Hindus and Buddhists both believe in reincarnation, and both believes in karma, and both believe in a circle where man will be constantly brought back to this carnal life, and he would be given escape only temporarily according to his own good deeds, or he may revert to a lower order of life if he has spent the tenure of life which is being given to him repeatedly. So if in any one particular tenure he has behaved badly and acted corruptly, then he could be sent back to a much lower order. He may rise again not as a man, but as a snake perhaps, or as an amoeba or something like that. So this is the philosophy of Hindus. They believe in reincarnation. So do the Buddhists, but with some variants and differences. The Hindus believe in a superpower, which is God, who constantly governs the affairs, although he cannot create according to Hindu mythology, but he can concoct, take things from here and there and make them into a compound thing. Take spirits who are independently alive and everlasting like God is, according to Hindu mythology. He captures them and weds them to the carnal life, and then we appear as human beings or as animals. So the Hindus believe that like dew, the souls are being sent at night, mixed with dew. And when the animals eat that dew, they also eat up the soul with it. And that soul, when somebody eats the flesh, that is transferred to that person who eats the flesh of such an animal. And if you eat a vegetable because you are vegetarians, then the vegetation also receives some dew. So it is all through the dew that Allah sends the souls on earth. And once they are eaten by mistake by poor people, inadvertently, then they are given a soul within, which is transferred through them to others and so on and so forth. So this rigmarole is generally the philosophy as the Hindus understand about the creation and life and reproduction. But still they have an internal logic. Although we don't believe in all this, but logically the story is a complete story. There is an outside power which has authority, which has control, which can bring things from other places and marry them to another state of affair, life, another state of being, and bring them together, mend them into one. And logically, this story holds good. And once death occurs, they get separated, and then Allah decides whether the soul should be raised to a higher order or to a lesser order. If he thinks this person, which was created like this, if he has been acting well in the sight of Allah, if he has been righteous, then Allah would relieve him for a while. Because the incarnate being that we have, the carnate being that we have, is according to Hindu mythology a punishment. The very life in itself, the very existence of life on earth, in whatever form it is, this is a punishment. A punishment for our sins. But suppose we have been righteous, we have been good, then Allah would give us a respite for 1,000 years or so, maybe 2,000 or 5,000 years, or maybe for a few years. He would save us from this punishment and keep us aloof as souls in our original order, as he found us. And after a while, when he thinks enough respite is given to them, and it's time again to start punishing them or trying them, then he puts us back into this carnate body. This is the Hindu philosophy. Now, the Buddhist philosophy, on the other hand, has an internal paradox. The paradox is that they don't believe in God. At least the majority among them does not believe in God. The result is that they believe in incarnation and yet do not believe in God, and it does not hold water, because internally there is a paradox created. If there is no God, who sends the soul back to the body? There is no foreign organization. Yet they believe. So what they believe is, in fact, When you read their philosophy, you come to understand that they believe in the power of the soul itself. There is no God outside, but there is an energy in the soul. Once it is ennobled, that energy qualifies the soul to escape from this carnal punishment. And after a while, when that energy of goodness is spent out, then the soul falls back to the same position and gets into the circle of, this trial and error and everything. So this is the Buddhist mythology, which is, of course, as compared to the Hindu mythology, less to be accepted, because this is a very, bizarre idea that there is no God, but soul itself acts like a God, and a sort of energy keeps it away from the punishment, and then it falls back to the punishment. There is no logic behind whatsoever. But the reason is that, in fact, both the Buddhists and the Hindus originally believed in one God. It was God who sent his prophets to these people. And when they were told that they would be given new life, Allah meant life after death. Like he has been speaking to Moses and the prophets earlier, and the prophets who followed him. He speaks in terms which are understood by human beings, he speaks in their terms. If Allah spoke in his own terms, nobody would understand what is going to happen. So to make us understand, he speaks of carnal bodies. Apparently, it looks as if soul would be given bodies like we have here, while the Holy Quran does not mean it, nor did earlier books. But things have been explained to us by Hazrat Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and in the present time by Hazrat Masih Maud alaihi salatu wasalam. So it's not at all difficult for us to understand things in their true perspectives. But imagine thousands of years ago, when in the dark ages this light was shown to them, then naturally they tended to believe that it is Allah is speaking of this earth. We will be given a new life now, not in the hereafter, but here on this earth. So they started translating it like this. When Buddhists deviated further and deserted the concept of God, still they continued believing in this philosophy. And the Hindus also were given the same book, the same word, from the same Allah. And they made the same mistake. So these are experimentations of Allah in different regions. The phenomena unfolded by Allah is the same, and people begin to go astray. That is also one certain thing which has been followed. This path has been followed by the previous people as well. But in different countries and different religions, the form which going astray takes, the shape it takes, is different. In Indian religions, their mistakes are different, in different directions. In the Middle Eastern religions, the mistakes are different. In the Chinese religion, or religions of Chinese origin, they are different. But the fundamental principles governing these are the same. Allah has been telling them the same truth. After the passage of time, they decided to corrupt their own teachings. How they corrupted? That was according to the requirements of their time and their national tendencies. So the Indian religions got corrupted in this direction. Instead of thinking of a hereafter beyond them, from which they would never be returned to this earth, they started believing in repeated life. And in other religions, other mistakes were committed.